This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3904 for Thursday, the 20th of July, 2023. Today's show is entitled, How to Make Friends. It is part of the series Social Media. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 48 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, this topic is being actively researched, not for production use.
Hey everybody, this is Klaatu. I'm going to talk about a topic that has puzzled me for years, decades, my entire life. And I feel like I've gathered quite a lot of data lately, and I think I might have it sort of structured in an algorithm that might be useful to other people. The topic is friendship. Friendship is really, really tricky. It's difficult to define. There's no clear mark of when it starts, and it often only feels right when it's mutual. So as a individual, as a human, many of us have some need, and this is to varying degrees, have some need of making friends. Humans are social animals, apparently, and generally speaking, nobody seems to be entirely okay being completely alone all of the time. And while you might think, well, that seems like an easy problem to solve because there are a lot of people on the planet, so if the only requirement is that you are not physically alone all of the time, then all you have to do is go to the store and you are no longer alone. But I think that for most humans, to varying degrees, simple exposure to another human isn't quite enough. You're supposed to be able to interact with some other set of humans in a meaningful way. And I know a lot of these terms are woefully subjective, but that's what we have to go on. So like scientifically, I guess, or whatever, like sociologically or psychologically, I don't know. In some way, people generally agree, if you're human, then you look for some kind of companionship some of the time. If you are what people, I think, tend to call an introvert, then I guess you don't have to, you're not compelled to go seek out other people as often as you are if you are an extrovert. Now, there are some interesting variations there as well, of course, because that's the way humans work, I guess. But some people say, well, introverts aren't just people who don't necessarily enjoy the company of other people. It's people who are, an introvert is someone who gets worn out physically, mentally, emotionally, from being exposed to people, whereas extroverts, I think, are people who thrive on that, get energy by being around other people. But there are, like, some people say, "Oh, well, I'm an extrovert," or what do they say? Like, "I'm an introvert, but I like hanging out with people." It's just that after I hang out with those people, then I have to go sort of like recover. And I think there's probably some truth to that, no matter what. But for the purpose of this episode, of this discussion, let's assume that whether you consider yourself, whether you've been told by others, whether you're introverted or extroverted, you're human, and being 100% alone all of the time is not desirable. In other words, you think you need a friend sometimes. Again, problem here is that the state of friendship doesn't really get, there's not really a clear moment when that starts. So if you go to a conference, a technical conference, or a cafe, or school, or even work, really, although I'll get to some of those constant sort of normal thing, like school, work, things that happen repetitively, there's a little bit of a catch there. But if you go to a place and you look at all the people and you think, well, I should make friends. That's what I've been told. I have to go make a friend now. So you go meet someone, maybe, let's say. So when does the friendship start? Is it the moment that you say, "Hey, stranger, what do you think of the weather today?" Like, whatever you say when you go up to a person, and we'll get into some ideas of what you might say, but whatever, you know, does the friendship start the moment you meet them, or does it start like 2 hours in after you have been sort of like seeing each other quite a lot around the conference or the cafe or whatever? Or if you're stuck on a bus with someone sitting next to you, if you talk through the whole ride from, I don't know, Denver to Albuquerque, then are you friends? Like, I met someone on an airplane once, and much to my surprise, we talked like the entire trip. It was like a 3 hour trip or something, and we talked. We had nothing in common, but this other person was really like an extrovert, just kept talking, and it was a good conversation, so I kept talking. After that exchange, I felt kind of like, wow, I think I've made a friend. But of course, I've never seen that person again. Don't even remember their name. So did I make a friend? Was that a temporary friend? Or was that just not a friend? That was just a really good conversation. I don't know. Nobody declares when that event takes place where friendship starts at all. So dating, for instance, like if you're dating someone, if you're asking them out to go out to eat or to go see a movie or something with the clear intent of let's maybe become romantically involved, dating is, that's a bit clearer. Because there are markers that you can use to sort of start to suspect that things are progressing towards a pretty clear goal. And without going into too many details, we'll just say the goal is to find a person who you can hang out with reliably all the time, potentially all day, every day. Some kind of partnership, although I don't want to use the word partnership because I'm going to use that later. So whatever you call, you know, like I guess we'll call it marriage. I don't really love calling it marriage, but let's say marriage is the clear goal here to a dating cycle. And so you meet the person, you talk. I think you're supposed to then ask them out to a thing like dinner or a movie or dinner and a movie. And at some point within that relationship, there things happen. Like you might have your first kiss. And that's a very notable event in many relationships. Oh, remember our first kiss? Does that mean that you're now like together? Like, is that it? Well, maybe, maybe not. It kind of depends on where you are on some social mores and things. But that first kiss marks something. That means the relationship has transitioned from a phase where you did not kiss to a phase where kissing, touching your lips together, is. Kind of, yeah, like that's a possibility. Like maybe we'll do that more often from now on. So there are things that happen during courtship that communicate to the people taking part in this that the relationship has progressed from one stage to the next. And in friendship, unfortunately, there's not, as far as I know, as far as I can tell, there aren't stages of that relationship. To some people, friendship is a persistent state. Once you have it, it's a state you now have forever, unless it's explicitly dissolved. But once you've met someone and you've talked, possibly for as little as like an hour or two, then in some people's opinion, that would qualify as a friendship, and that friendship lasts forever. It's almost as if though, like sort of like once you learn someone's name, you're friends now. Forever. Unless one of you just blows up and says, look, I'd never want to see you again. Don't ever utter my name. Don't say hi to me when you see me on the street. Like, I am done with you. I don't know what would have happened in this theoretical situation to make that occur, but that could happen. And to some people, friendship is just a persistent thing. Once you've had some very basic interactions, then you are friends. I mean, to certain people, they even claim that they are friends with everyone. Just automatically, they claim everyone in their area as a friend. If you're on the planet, you're a friend of this person. That, you know, whether or not that's true, whether or not that sort of has the same meaning as the friendship that maybe I'm talking about, who knows? But the point is that for some people, friendship is a instant and persistent state of being from some point onward. Now, for other people, it's something that requires maintenance. Now, arguably, this suggests that there are degrees of friendship based on when you last spoke to each other, for instance. So if you meet someone, you talk to them. Maybe you talk to them all day. You hang out. You're at a technical conference. You're talking. You go to lunch together because you're just talking. You're going to the same presentations together. And by the end of the day, you think, oh, yeah, I think we're friends now. And then you both go your separate ways because the conference is over. But maybe you continue to email each other. So you're still friends because you're talking over email with the person that you talked to in person at an event. Now, if whatever you guys had to talk about starts to sort of peter out, and then maybe you go a couple of months without emailing. Are you still friends? It depends, and we'll get into definitions of friendship and so on later. But for a lot of people, it would be a no. You're not a friend. You're not friends anymore because you aren't communicating actively enough. But let's say after 6 months, an idea pops into your head, and you think, you know, who would really like that one person that I met. So you email them. And so now you're giving maintenance to your friendship. And so retrospectively, we could say, oh, actually, yeah, they were friends still. They just hadn't talked in a while. But I emailed this person out of the blue after 6 months. They responded. I think we're still friends. And then maybe a year goes by. Another idea pops into your head. You email the person. They respond. Looks like you're still friends. So there's this sort of cycle of refreshing and sort of maintaining a friendship. Now, degrees of friendship, such as what I've just described. When did you last talk to this person? Oh, I just talked to them last week. Well, you must be pretty good friends then. I haven't talked to them in like 6 months. Oh, so they're, you know, a friend. That kind of degree of friendship suggests that there are levels of friendship. So you might be a friend to someone, and then maybe after a certain amount of time, you gain the designation of a close friend. And then after a little bit more time, maybe you even become best friends. Is that a thing? I mean, these are all terms that we've heard. Yes, they're a friend of mine. Oh, they're such a close friend of mine. Oh, that's my best friend. Those are concepts that we all know. So they have to exist in some way. We wouldn't have just made up those terms. I mean, those are things that people use to express a feeling and a state of relationships. This might be a case of not being able to define a thing until you've learned the thing. So let's go through how to make a friend first, and then we'll circle back around and see if we can come up with a good working definition of what a friend is. Okay, making friends. Friendship requires communication. So it starts, this process starts by communicating in some way that makes another person feel not unpleasant. This is tricky for a few reasons. One thing about this process is that you're not supposed to target a specific person for friendship. This is really stupid and annoying because that's like, I mean, if you're going to go make a friend, then you have to target somebody, right? You can't just go out into the world and just be there and hope that a friend is made. You have to target someone. But I mean, socially speaking, you're not supposed to like target someone too specific for friendship because the fear is that then you will come on too strong. You will, you'll be creepy, essentially. Like, you're stalking them. So if you target someone for friendship too much, then that's considered bad. So you have to target sort of like the idea of friendship, but you can't have thought about it too hard in advance with a specific person in mind. That's an annoying, like, rule, because like I say, like, in a way, it goes exactly counter to the reality of the situation. The reality is that when you decide, oh, I need a friend, you have to target someone in a crowd of people. You have to figure out which one of these 20 people am I going to talk to? Or I should say, which of these 20 people am I going to talk to first? And that's the difference. If you look at a bunch of people and you think, okay, I'm gonna find a friend within this group, then yes, you have to target someone as the first step. But I think the concept, the idea is that not everyone in that 20 people, I'm using 20 as an arbitrary number here. Let's just pretend like there's 20 people. You want one friend. Maybe 19 of those people, or well, I should say, maybe let's say, again, making up numbers and percentages here. Let's say 10 of those people don't want a friend. They already have enough friends. So they don't, they might talk to you. They might be friendly to you, but they don't want to engage with you for a long-term, like, friendship relationship. And then maybe 9 of those people are looking for friends, but you're not it. Like, you're not, your interests and their interests don't align to such a degree that a friendship could reasonably be expected to be sustained. And the assumption, therefore, is that one of those people in that crowd is the person that you're going to become a friend with, that they have the right interests, they are also looking for a friend, or maybe not actively, but I mean, they're open to the idea of friendship. And so you find that one person in that crowd of 20 people. So that's the theory. Like I say, I've made up those numbers. I've made up those percentages. It may not be correct. It might be too much. It might be too few. I don't know, but that's the concept. So rather than targeting one person and thinking, I need to be that person's friend because they, according to my analysis, they would be the best friend for me. Apparently, the reality of the situation is that you can't know that. You might latch on to someone's sort of personal persona and think, oh, they're going to be my friend. I'm going to make them my friend. But then once you start talking to them, it turns out that actually you don't really have anything in common, or maybe they're just not a really great person to hang out with one-on-one. Maybe they're good in a crowd, but not so great on an individual level. Or maybe you'll just hit them at the wrong time. The moment you decide I'm going to move in now and become that person's friend happens to be the wrong moment for them. Something else is going on in their life. They cannot concentrate long enough on communication to establish a friendship. And so it just falls apart. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to target one person for all of the friendship. You want to just know that you want a friend, but be open to that friend being sort of a surprise. Okay, so now that you've decided you want to make a friend, you've targeted a group of people, and you have decided, and that group of people doesn't actually have to be assembled in one place at one time. I'm just using common social situations as examples. In reality, you could just have it in the back of your head, in the back of your mind, I should look out for a friend. And one day you'll go to like a restaurant for breakfast or something. And I don't know. Do people make friends at restaurants? I'm not really sure that people make friends at restaurants. Forget it. You went to breakfast, nothing happened. But then you went to another place, a game store for a game. And there's a person there and you're talking and you're chatting. And it seems like, oh, this could be the friend that I was in the back of my mind. I was thinking of, nope, that's not your friend. The moment passed, like you talked, but then you left and you never heard from them again. They were just passing through town or something. They're gone. They're gone from your life. It's as if they didn't exist. But then later that day, you go somewhere else where friends are made and you meet someone and you start talking and that is your friend. And that wasn't, you know, like I say, it didn't all happen at once. You went to three different places this day that you were open to making a friend, but it didn't happen until that last place where there was like this one person who ended up being a friend. So how to do this though? What's the process? As I've already expressed, I don't actually know where you make friends. And that's again why it's really important to just kind of be, just acknowledge to yourself, have it in the back of your head, in the back of your mind, to be looking out for friend opportunities. And then you have to sort of act like you're looking for a friend. I mean, you don't have to like have a badge on that says, please help me, I am friendless, but you need to change your default behavior potentially, you know, to sort of invite other people to engage in a friendly way with you. And by that I mean, you need to like I say, communication. Friendship requires communication. And as we will see as we go through this process, communication is actually it's the entire foundation for friendship. So you have to communicate with people. And if that's not something that you do normally, then you have to start doing it. Or else you will not, it will take you a lot longer to find a friend. So if you are actively looking for a friend, you want to find a friend, you have to start communicating with people. And I have found that one way to do that, and I asked an extrovert about this, and they gave me this advice, and I've never forgotten it. I got this advice like 12 years ago. Never forgot it, and it actually really, really works. And the secret is to pay someone a compliment. It could be anybody, lots of people actually. You should try it more often than you think necessary so that you can start getting sort of comfortable with it. But if you compliment something that someone has done, then that makes them feel not unpleasant. You have to do this in a non-creepy way, and that's why I say sometimes practice is good, because if you compliment someone in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable, then that's not what you want. That's bad. That's the bad results. What you want is to compliment someone in a way that makes them feel not unpleasant. It may even make them feel good about themselves. That's not your goal, though. That's on them. All you're trying to do is paying someone a compliment in such a way that they feel not unpleasant. And the compliment can be anything. It can be the silliest thing. The example that was given to me was at a checkout line, just compliment the checkout person on a necklace she's wearing, or he's wearing. Someone's wearing a necklace. Compliment that necklace. And I use that because that was literally the example that was given to me. And then I right there, I tried it. It's like this person told me, try complimenting someone that person's necklace. And so we got into line and I complimented the person's necklace and the person like started talking to me. Now it's silly because the necklace, like they didn't make the necklace usually. Very rarely did the person you compliment on their necklace or, you know, on their choice of, I don't know, a watch or whatever, like whatever you're complimenting someone on, they probably aren't even that responsible for it, but they still take pride in it because they chose that for themselves. And so they see that as a little victory and they thank you for the compliment. Now, sometimes that's as far as the compliment takes you. That's the communication. Oh, that's a nice necklace. Oh, thank you. That's it. That was the end of the conversation. And that's okay. That's a perfectly acceptable conversation. Like sometimes if the conversation is sort of supposed to stop there, if you try to force it further, then that becomes creepy, you know, because where did you get it? Who gave it to you? Why are you wearing it today? You know, and then they start thinking, well, what is this? Am I being interrogated? Like, do you think I stole the necklace? Like what's going on with this necklace? So, you know, so sometimes it's just a statement, an acknowledgement that you've made a statement and that's it. But other times, if you compliment someone on something, then they might give you more information. Like, oh, that's a really cool sticker on your laptop. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I got it at the, at Fosdem. Back in 2023. Oh, cool. Do you run that software or, you know, whatever. Like, then you start, the questions start, right? A conversation starts. And that's a good thing. Like, that's communication. And that could be the beginning of a friendship. That is a very potential, that's a potential good start to a friendship, that conversation. And if that conversation continues for a very long time, then, I mean, like I say, some people would call that a friendship, especially if you know their name. Like if you learn their name and you've had a conversation with them, in some people's view, that's a friendship. That, for me, that's not a friendship, but for some people, I mean, that's it. That's a friendship right there. But it is a beginning of a friendship, even if you have more stringent requirements for friendship, such as I do. That is a very good start to a friendship because that shows that there is some kind of common interest. And there's a little bit of a danger here, right? Like you have to be careful about what you are complimenting. You have to be careful about why you're complimenting it. Like if you really are just complimenting someone's necklace and you don't care about jewelry at all, like me, like I don't know a good jewelry from a bad jewelry, then you don't want to, you know, if they start talking to you a lot about this thing that you don't actually care about, that might not be the greatest basis for a friendship because, well, now we're talking about a thing that I only talked about because I had to practice complimenting people today and you're a person that I had to compliment. Like that's the extent of this conversation for me. Now you don't have to tell anybody that, but if, you know, you do want to make sure that you're being, I guess, genuine when you start conversing with someone. I'm not saying it's bad to converse with someone about a thing that you're not interested in. That's a great way to learn about stuff, right? If you start talking to someone about a thing you know nothing about and they go into a 5-minute, 10-minute explanation of the significance of that thing, I mean, maybe you don't care, but hey, that actually is kind of interesting. And that conversation might lead to other things that you are interested in. And then you might find common ground. And that common ground, whether you had to dig through a bunch of weird stuff that you don't care about to find it, or whether it's just something right off the bat, oh yeah, we're talking about tech, and I'm super interested in that anyway, so it's easy. Yes, we have common interest. Either way, the goal here is to find common ground, because common ground enables repetition. Repetition is what builds friendship, repetition of communication. So in other words, in order to develop the friendship beyond, oh, I have said two words to you, you have said two words to me. If you want to take the friendship beyond that, then you need to repeat the process. It's a loop. You need to communicate to build friendship. If you communicate and find common ground, common interests, then that is an opening to further communication. And so you just repeat the communication. It doesn't always have to start with a compliment. It can start with a question. You could say, I noticed that you're running NetBSD. Tell me more about that. How was it? How hard was that to install on your laptop? Was it easy? Does your laptop suspend correctly? Or do you have to do something special to get it to work? How's the sound on that laptop under NetBSD, and so on? So you could just, you know, it can start with a question. It could start with a compliment. It can start with just a thought, just an arbitrary thought. I've been thinking about trying Void Linux. Have you ever run it yourself? Oh, that was a question, wasn't it? But anyway, you get the idea, right? You can create conversations because of these common interests. And the way that that happens is that you do it more than once. You've communicated, and then maybe you've gone your separate ways, and then you continue to communicate, whether it's when you see each other again at the same spot, or because you have gotten each other's emails, or whatever. Now, this is why friendship is pretty common. It often develops at, like, work or at school, because you're in the same location around the same people frequently, and you end up locating people who have common interests. They're very often kind of easy to spot too. Not only are they there all the time, but they often are doing similar things as what you're doing. They might be in the same class as you, taking a structured educational course on a specific topic means they're probably somewhat interested in that topic, even if it's just on an academic level. Someone working in the same department as you, or in a department that you want to work in eventually, they're probably interested in that topic. So friendship tends to be pretty easy to make, to create at, like, work or school or at other frequently repeated events. And similarly, to be fair, they frequently dissolve fairly quickly after, like, graduation, or after you've changed jobs or whatever, because they are a little bit dependent upon the repetition, the reliable repetition of being in a specific place, doing a specific thing. It just makes repetitious communication easier to manage. And once that goes away, then you're left with sort of the requirement to communicate repeatedly without that sort of impetus. You just have to make that communication happen yourself. The situation of communication matters. Chatting with someone who's being paid to interact with you, like somebody working at a store, that doesn't really count, because in context of that situation, they more or less can't choose to stop communicating with you until you leave the store. So chatting with someone who has to chat back to you, that's not a good foundation for a friendship. It doesn't work. This is super confusing, because it will feel like it works. You will think, I am really getting along with this person. No, you're not. That person is mimicking that easy repetition of communication, because that person works in that store. If you go to that store every morning for coffee, or if you go to that store frequently to buy a book or a game or something, and you see that person frequently, you think you're making a friend. But actually what you're doing is you're making a work colleague. You don't work there, but they do. And so it's not the same thing. So be careful of those false positives. Another thing that doesn't count is when you are chatting with anybody who has anything to gain by chatting with you, Well, that's a tough one because I mean we all want to gain something from each other, right? I mean that's we all need something from each other. That's the point of friendship. But what I'm saying is like if it's an intern at work, you know, like their paycheck could be affected possibly, or at least in their eyes, maybe even incorrectly, but in their eyes, if they get to know you better, they might get onto your team, and wouldn't that be great? Then they would get a regular job at that place. Or if this person from this team transferred over to that department, they would be happier at their job. And so being friends with you could influence things later on. Like if you ever had to suggest someone for a job opening or something like that. So in other words, be careful when you are chatting with someone where there is any kind of just really even just the barest power dynamic. It's really, really dangerous and it's super confusing. It really is because you may not think of yourself as having like power over someone, but if in their eyes you do, then you functionally do. And so that the communication, the repetition of communication, it'll fool you. It'll and it can be dangerous. So it's a little bit better to just focus on finding friends really outside of the obvious places, like the places that you would normally go to find friends, or that you might think, oh, this will make for easy pickings. I'm at school. I could easily talk to someone here, or I'm at work. I can easily just be careful of those places. Not because you necessarily have power over someone in those places, but just because there is kind of that forced repetition. Now, that is not to say that it doesn't work. It does work. I have made friends at work, and the friendship has persisted after a job change. I have made friends at school, and that friendship has persisted after graduation. Not that I ever graduated, but you know what I mean. So it does, it can happen. It does work. I'm just saying, be aware that there may be an added dynamic there that could complicate things. Okay, so you've met somebody, you've talked to them, you've talked to them repeatedly. You have repeated, you're in a loop of communication. Maybe it happens every day, maybe it happens once a week, maybe it happened a lot for one weekend and then just happens over email. Whatever the situation, to speed up the friendship process. And I mean, at this point, you can already say, again, we don't have a definition, but you could say you're friends. Like, oh, that person? Yes, that's my friend. I met them one weekend, and then I emailed them every once a month. Or, that's my friend. I see them every day, and we talk. Whatever your qualifications for, whatever your definition is of a friend, you could start laying claim to that now. And don't worry, I'm going to get to a more solid definition later. But if you want to sort of develop that friendship further, then you can try inviting the person to interact with you on something with a clearly defined goal. You like coding? I like coding. Would you care to collaborate on a script that would help me find my Raspberry Pi on my network? I've got 4 Pis. I need to know which one is which. Let's work on one of those blinky light scripts to alert me of which Raspberry Pi is which. You like fishing? I like fishing. Would you like to go fishing until we have extracted a fish out of a body of water, one fish each, or however many fish the goal is? I wouldn't ever do that. I'm vegetarian. But, I mean, people do fish, I think. There are other things. You like bowling? I like bowling. Let's go bowling. Whatever the activity is, if you invite someone to go do an activity with a finite start and a finite end, then you are opening opportunities for continued communication. And remember, communication is the foundation of friendship. This can be difficult sometimes because when you're doing an activity that you both claim to enjoy, in theory, that activity should be sufficient to further the friendship, right? But actually, no. The activity isn't what's building friendship. This is not intuitive, but the activity itself is not building friendship. It is actually only building a partnership. So if you get together to do something, you're essentially sort of volunteering to help one another do a thing that you enjoy, that you both enjoy. Let's get together and do some woodworking. Great. We're using each other's power tools. We're probably learning tips and tricks from each other. That is a great foundation for a partnership. You are my woodworking buddy. We will learn from each other and get better at our craft. Get together and do live coding together. Great. We're learning from each other. Here's my tool chain. What's your tool chain look like? Oh, that's cool. Oh, I'd never heard of that IDE. Maybe I'll try that now. How do you build a package for your application? What do you use? Do you Maven or Gradle or whatever the situation is? That builds a partnership. And that's very significant difference to friendship. Friendship is what is getting built through, what is it? Communication during that activity. So the activity is an excuse. It's a red herring. The activity doesn't actually matter. And you'll see that. You'll probably experience it. When you meet someone and you're doing things together, you'll think, wow, we're such good friends. We have fun no matter what we're doing. And that's good. That's a good thing. That's exactly what you want out of a friendship. Because that means that the friendship is sort of transcending, if you will, not to be too sort of subjective and mystical about it, but it's transcending the physical activities that you're engaging in, which is good because, as I say, some activities will trick you into thinking that you're making friends when you're not. Like a common one would be, you know, work friends, school friends, friends at the bar. You're talking to the bartender. Oh, you're such great friends. Well, sure you are. The bartender has to be your friend. Like, that's the job. So if you can get into an activity where it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're still having fun together and still interacting and communicating, that's a good foundation for a friendship. And that's really it. That's how to make a friend. You go out and you communicate to people. When someone communicates back for a couple of sentences, like you have a proper conversation, then for some people, that's the start of friendship. Now, for other people, they need a little bit more than that. And I think most people, honestly, need a little bit more than that. So repetition. You want to talk to that, you want to communicate with that person more than once. You want to communicate with them frequently. You want to make sure that they're not feeling unpleasant. Are they comfortable communicating with you? Are they also are they happy to be communicating with you more than once? Assuming everyone's happy in the situation to communicate, then you just keep communicating. You build up communication through repetition, repeated communication. And then to develop that further, to sort of solidify it, as it were, you try doing activities together that permit communication during the activity. Assuming you have shared interests, those activities are probably going to be fairly easy to find, and they should, ideally, just kind of happen more or less as a natural result of the communication. You're talking about coding? Hey, you know what? I've been working on this one project. Why don't we get together sometime and work on the project together? Whatever. So none of this really has defined friendship yet. We've made a friend. We understand that friendship is built on communication, but we still don't exactly know when that friendship starts, when it would end, if it ends, what the friend is, like why there is a friend. So that's a little bit tougher to work out, but I think I more or less have a working framework for a definition. I don't have a definition. I have a framework for a definition. Unfortunately, there's just no clear point during this process that you'll know that you've made a friend. Or you'll be one of those people, like I said, who just thinks that you've made a friend the moment someone talks back at you. Neither of those two things is wrong. I'm just saying it's very difficult to figure out, to tell one from the other. Like, oh, we had a conversation. We're friends now. Versus, oh, you know what? We've been talking for like 3 months, pretty much every other day. I think we're friends now. Like, what's the difference between those two things? How can both of those things be true? Well, the secret is that you have to define what a friend is to you, and that's the goal you work toward. I'll give you some examples. Maybe for you, you've decided a friend is someone to hang out with on Sundays. You got nothing better to do on Sundays? A friend would be a person you could call up or text or email and say, hey, let's do this thing on Sunday. Now, if that is your goal, if that's what a friend would look like to you, well, now you know what to work for. You're looking for a friend where friend equals someone to hang out with on Sunday. Now that's limiting, you know, the scope of what is acceptable to you. So you'll have to communicate with people. You'll have to find people. Probably you'll make friends or whatever they are, like you'll make acquaintances with a lot of people until you find like the person who's available to hang out on Sundays. And along the way, you may realize Sundays was too specific. Like, I've made a couple of acquaintances, and they all, several of them seem to be available to hang out on Thursday night. But Sundays seem to be pretty busy for everyone other than me. So you might have to revise your definition of what a friend is. Maybe a friend is someone to hang out with on, not Sunday, Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, whatever. So the definition needs to remain a little bit flexible, potentially, or not, and you just make all the acquaintances you make on the way to finally finding that one person who has a lot of similar interests as you do, who is fun to communicate with, and who is available on Sundays to hang out. Now you have your friend. Maybe a friend is someone you can call when you've got free time to kill. Doesn't have to be Sundays, it could be any day, but it needs to be someone who's generally available when you are bored. And once again, you could either decide, okay, that's too specific. Like, whenever I'm bored is just, there's no predicting that. Therefore, it's unreasonable for me to expect a friend to sort of exist that can be available anytime I am bored. All right, maybe what I really mean is that a friend is someone who's fun to hang out with, and when they're available when I am bored, it's great to have them around. Or maybe a friend is just someone to play video games with online. They don't even have to be available in real life for real life physical activities. You just need someone online who can join your league or your guild or whatever they're called in video games, and you play video games together online. That could be your definition. That would be fine too. Maybe a friend is someone you can call day or night whenever you need help. Maybe that's your requirement. You want a real friend. You want a best friend, a close friend. You want someone you can call whenever, just like on TV. You call them, they drop everything, they help you out. Again, that's a pretty specific thing, and you may be looking for that person for a very long time. You might have to go through lots and lots and lots of acquaintances or, you know, low-level friends before you find that person who's, like, available anytime, day or night, to help you out, whatever. But, I mean, if that's your requirement, then that's your requirement. If that's your definition, then that's your definition. Maybe a friend is someone who has come over to dinner, come over to dinner at your house, met your family, and who you see at least once a month. So in other words, friendship, there is no official definition. You get to define it yourself. Your definition may differ from the other person's definition, though. So you might say, hey, we're best friends. And they might say, no, I already have a best friend. You're a good friend. You're a close friend, whatever, but you're not my best friend. That's okay. The definitions don't have to be the same. I mean, they might have to be the same in order for them to meet your requirements of what a friend is. So if you say, well, I don't call anyone a friend, or at least my best friend, unless they can hang out on Friday nights. If there's someone and they're not available on Friday nights, they're not my friend. That's not good enough for me. Well, if their definition is of a friend is someone who just calls them occasionally on weekends, then there is a mismatch there. And you're gonna have to figure out how that aligns. How does that work out? Does that work? It may not work. It may be that your expectations of a friend doesn't match what another person, however friendly you have been to each other, it doesn't match what they are willing to put into a friendship. And so it's just never going to quite work out. The point is that you get to make the definition. I guess what I'm saying is, or what I'm trying to imply here, is that a wider definition, a looser definition, is probably better than a very strict definition. But at the end of the day, you probably do have a strict definition for what exactly you want. And you shouldn't lose sight of that. But you should also never try to force a friendship into meeting those requirements, because that's not going to work. That actually could even strain and possibly break the friendship. Why are you never available on Friday night? I call and you never pick up. Right, because I'm at the my volunteer gig on Friday, every Friday, forever. I will never be available on Friday. Well, does that mean that you can no longer, you can't be friends? Well, if your only definition of a friend is someone who's available on Friday night, and the person who you've been communicating with is not available on Friday night, then yes, you cannot be friends. That is an incompatibility. So opening up that definition of what a friend is is probably good. Do you have to consider literally everyone you meet, like some people do? A friend? Not necessarily. Like, that's up to you. You can make it a little bit more constrained than that. But it is ultimately a perceptual thing. You get to choose who you call a friend. You get to choose what needs in your own life other people fill through their friendship. I think probably the idea that friendship is, I don't know, as cliche as it sounds, like a spectrum or a buffet, that's probably kind of accurate. Like, different people who you have met and communicated with are likely to meet different requirements for you. And I think generally that's probably fine. I don't think that's a problem usually. There may be some friends that you have that play games, board games and tabletop games, and then other friends who do not. But they're the movie buffs. They love movies more than anything. So they're great to hang out with on movie night. But you don't invite them over to the board game night because they hate that sort of thing, and so on. So you'll have different sort of like different kinds of friends potentially, and that's okay. And I mean, it's the 21st century as well. You're likely to have friends in real life and you're likely to have friends online. And one is not necessarily better than the other. You know, I mean, they're a little bit different, but literally some of my closest friends I have never met face to face. That's kind of weird. Or it would have been back in the early 20th century, but in the 21st century, that's normal and that's fine. So I guess what I'm saying after an hour of talking about friendship and what it is don't overthink it. Look at me. I don't overthink it at all. Friendship is communication. Friendship is defined by you, and friendship is defined by the other person. Sometimes those definitions align pretty well, and that friendship gets developed in different ways. Friendship might develop at different rates at different times, too. You might go a whole year and barely ever talk to this person. And then suddenly you start talking to them again and it's like you never stop talking and it's great. And then another year goes by and you don't really, and that's fine. That kind of unsteady sort of pace is okay as long as everyone is okay with it. Ultimately, it's communication. It is repetitious and earnest and honest communication. That's the foundation of friendship. The logistics can be confusing because there are lots of fuzzy definitions out there. It can be very difficult to figure out how you're supposed to kick off the friendship process. And then once you've kicked it off, you're not even sure if it is kicked off. Have we started being friends yet? I don't know. It's difficult. Like I say, just come up with a definition of what a friend looks like to you, not physically, just like emotionally, like what is a friend in your definition, and move towards that goal consistently. Eventually, you'll reach that goal. You'll have someone who fills that definition for you. Then you can come up with different definitions, or you can just keep adding people to that same category. It's up to you. If you have experience making friends or thinking about friendship, or if you're an extrovert with lots of success over how friends are made, feel free to share them in a Hacker Public Radio episode. I think it's a fascinating topic, and I think gathering data on that, on those interactions and what interactions produce friendship is a fascinating thing to try to reverse engineer, honestly. I think it's kind of an interesting topic. And a lot of people have a lot of problems with it. So I think overthinking it probably can be detrimental, but at the same time, giving it some thought can be empowering as well, because then you know exactly what it is that you're going after, and you know why, and you know not to panic when you're not really sure. Are we friends? Are we good friends? Are we just kind of acquaintances? Like, where are we? What are we going to call ourselves here? Who cares? It's just, you have a definition of a friend. Work towards that definition. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.